You know, that'll make him shit liquid. We are rolling right now.
Good. I don't care if people think I smoke crack.
Start that up. Here we go. Hello and welcome to Skeptical Yours, where thinking is free. Today's episode brought to you by The Big Bang.
Boom.
Sitting next to me is my co-host and producer, Heather Henderson.
Hi, everybody.
You know Heather from the Facebooks, on the inner tubes, and from our other award-winning podcast, Ardent Atheist. You can find links to our guest website, join our Twitter and Facebook feeds, subscribe to our premium 90-minute full-length episodes, and our email at skepticallyyours.net.
If you'd like to take part in the live chat moderated by Joe Swam, go to skepticallyyours.net/live and chat us up right now.
And please go to iTunes, subscribe to our podcast for free, and write a review. Help us get in the top 10. You may also go to skepticallyyours.net/premium and subscribe to our premium ad-free content for a measly $10 per year.
Subscribe now or I'll give you autism.
You can't give people autism.
Sure I can.
How?
Vaccinations.
You have vaccinations?
Well, I would just buy them a flu shot at the drugstore.
You're going to buy everyone who doesn't subscribe a flu shot in the hopes of giving them autism?
Yes!
No. You'll just be making them more healthy.
And the money they save on NyQuil can be used to buy a subscription.
That's genius.
Just drive the mixer, fun boy.
I'm driving.
If you're a listener who's ever been duped by anything that's been debunked on Snopes, welcome. Your ordeal is over.
We're coming to you live from E&H Studios in sunny Studio City, California. In the studio tonight, we have Susanna Lee and Dave Ross. You know these folks from the world of reason.
Reason.
The world of reason?
Yeah.
I don't understand.
You know, in the skeptical world, this show is about skepticism. It's about reason. It's about logic. It's about debunking things that are just bullshit.
Sure.
And that is the process of using reason.
Okay. This is great. I don't think anything is correct.
You don't. Oh. Now, this I am interested in.
That
Nothing.
Means you're a skeptic, huh?
Right. Also
you're
a liar.
Skeptical of everything. Nice start. So, Dave Ross.
What's up?
You're Hello. A funny guy. Thanks for being here.
Oh, thanks for having me.
I love your comedy.
Oh, thank you.
Did you start in L.A.?
I did start in L.A.
It's a tough place to start doing comedy, I'll tell you.
Yeah, that's what I hear. It's all I know, but it's people say that. Yeah.
And
how old were you when you got started?
Well, I tried it a few times when I was like 23.
That's when you started.
24.
You just say, yeah, I started at 24. That's what you say.
Yeah, I don't know. But I started when I was 26, because I did it like 4 times, and then I was like, no, this is scary, and then I didn't do it for 3 years.
Is that the character you were doing? Because
No, that's the real me.
Oh, no.
This is a character.
Right.
I can hold this together for like 90 minutes. If this is a long podcast, we're all fucked.
We only do 90. We go up to an hour, and then we do another half.
Fantastic.
And you'll have time to go to the bathroom and become more character.
That's great.
So we'll give you a break. So, tonight, first of all, Susanna Lee is with us. The first time I've had you on the show since we finished editing together the project.
Yes. The project.
Comics.
The Naked Thing.
It's called Peeping Comics. Mm-hmm. That's the working title.
Yes.
I'm sure once we sell it, the dickheads will change the name to something, you know, boring and bullshit.
Fantastic.
That's like Girl in a Box.
Yeah.
Girl in a Box is a great title.
That is a great title.
Box in a Box.
Come into my box.
There you go.
So, I'm really excited about Peeping Comics.
I am, too.
Dave Ross
is
one of the people that was actually in the other box.
Yes.
Talk about this. Tell people about your project, Susanna.
I interviewed comics that I know and love and admire and respect, and some that I didn't know.
or admire or respect.
And even a couple that I really didn't even like.
Ah,
not even at all.
Very nice.
And
she interviewed me.
Yeah.
Go on.
they got the spite pussy.
Yes.
You didn't get the spite pussy, Dave.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
That's great.
No, you're good in my book.
You can hear my insecurities.
So I interviewed comics about deviance and all sorts of little subtopics, fear, honesty. I don't remember the others because it was several months ago.
Right.
It's
really cool. It was a great idea.
How did it feel? And let's be clear. Mm-hmm. While doing the interview, this is a peep show.
Yeah.
So you are performing in across glass.
Yes.
And talking on a phone, almost like a
it's a vintage peep show. Like imagine Madonna.
It's
you know what I mean?
Madonna video only with more masturbating Mexicans.
And then right and telephones involved.
Yeah, and less like nice clothing.
Right.
And it's not that clean.
And you, are there going to be a lot of masturbating Mexicans on your show?
Not on the series. No,
okay.
No.
More stains.
Not a lot of customers on the day we filmed. On the days we filmed.
Right. I had never been. That was the only time in my entire life I've been in one of those booths.
It's creepy if that was the first time, my friend.
Well, if you're trying to impress me, it worked.
So you're stripping for people while asking them questions about their humor, their comedy, their life, and their interpersonal.
Yes, I give them a fully nude peep show while we do the interview.
And what I love the most about this whole thing.
The pussy.
Is.
no, the ass.
I love the pussy.
The pussy was nice, don't get me wrong. What I like the most, really, is that this venue draws out the vulnerability of the comic. It draws out it puts them
and the discomfort.
Yeah. The discomfort.
Yeah, what was it like for you?
Oh man, I am like so. I mean, nudity on its own is just like, this doesn't seem correct for me. And sex is something that really this is all we talked about.
Yeah.
I think on the interview, I'm made so uncomfortable by sex. Because I've just been told my whole life that, not told, but it sort of seemed the whole time I was a kid that it's just wrong, that you just don't do it, and that women never want to do it, never want to be naked. It's all bad. It took me like until I was like 25 to really understand that women also liked sex, because that's like sort of where I came from, I guess.
Right.
So the idea of her, whom I respect, you know, stripping in front
Let's
of me was very difficult. Who I hate. This woman, I hated her, you know.
Yeah.
It was very difficult for me to accept that she was like stripping for me and
willingly.
I wasn't doing anything wrong. Yeah, it seemed like I was doing something wrong just simply by being there.
Yeah. It's so cool because it puts the performer that you're interviewing, it puts them in a space, a headspace, a psychological space that it kind of knocks them off their center perfectly.
Well, I thought that was going to happen, and it did, but how I tried to structure it was, I mean, the comic coming in, of course, that peep show is a very creepy place, and no one was comfortable there.
Right.
Like, well, there might have been a couple people that, you know.
I had no issues being in that booth.
Yeah, yeah.
I was quite at home.
Well, they cleaned it, you know. Yeah. I tipped the jizz mopper like $5 to really clean the booth, so that he scraped shit.
Oh, my God. Does it say jizz mopper on his name tag?
Yeah. Can we just savor that title for a minute? Because
Steve,
that is awesome. How do you put that on a CV?
I like to think he has an office.
It's the closet.
Sort of.
And there's a little nameplate on the front of his huge desk. You know? Just a big mahogany desk.
That's so funny.
And it says Steve so-and-so.
Jizz Mopper. Yeah, we're not going to name his last name.
He was a mechanic in his country.
No, America?
That's funny.
Yeah.
I moved to America.
Well, what I like to do...
In Portugal, I was a cardiologist.
When the comics came in, I knew that they were going to be uncomfortable. So what I did with the interviews, like I usually spent the first minute to minute and a half, couple minutes kissing their ass and telling them why I absolutely loved them. And some of the times it was, you know, honest.
It's always true. We're doing showbiz here.
Yes.
Cut that out. We have more shows to
shoot. I loved and respected each of those 31 comics for whatever reason
honest.
I said.
Right.
And so by doing that, I think that I sort of put myself in the position of being some, I'm the one you can trust, and I'm the one that's not like part of this, you know, I'm the good guy
in
this really uncomfortable situation. So people were a lot more, a lot more willing to open up.
Opened up big time, man.
Yeah, if I had gotten in there and you were like, look, man, your comedy sucks. I will never be a fan. Yeah, it would have been much harder to
when
be
we
nice
talk,
to you.
When we talk Taylor Williamson into doing it.
I love him
I know,
so
right?
much.
And I begged him to come to our shoots and do one and take a spot. And he said he couldn't.
Because of the thing.
He's so married to the fucking contract with those folks that he did. He did, what's the name of the show?
America's Got Talent.
And he placed number two.
Yeah.
He crushed it.
Yeah,
we're very
phenomenal.
Proud of him.
Just stole the show. Some Asian guy that did the dancing with himself on the screen, which was brilliant stuff. And
he's more
frankly,
aligned with a Vegas show, you know what I mean?
But that's what the prize is, right? A Vegas thing.
Yeah.
Oh, that guy's set for life. Yeah. That guy.
Yeah.
Well, but either way, like, don't the top five or six go on like a national tour?
He did. He
I'm
went
sure
on a tour.
If you just make it anywhere.
Yeah. Taylor sells out clubs now. It's so great. Because he's been so great for so long.
He's the sweetest guy.
Well, he's got his own. It's almost creepy. I mean, his Twitter account, Taylor's Twitter account, is just chock full of these 13-year-old girls who are obviously just learning to masturbate to Taylor. It's so creepy.
What do
and
they call
hot.
Him again?
He is shaping young girls.
What are they called?
Taylords.
Oh, man. Say it again. That is horrible.
Taylords. If you weren't jealous of him before.
Taylords?
Taylords. Yeah, yeah.
Really?
He's got this following.
He's got the Taylords following him.
Yeah, the Bieberites or whatever.
I can't wait to see him. I haven't seen him since he won all that stuff.
Yeah. I actually
all
have it queued
up. All sorts of stuff
up.
To make fun of him for. This is great.
Yeah. I'd like to show it. We have no reason not to show it on our show, do we?
I don't know.
Yeah,
I mean,
there's no reason
I don't
reason
think
not
there's
to.
Any reason that's not going to...
No, yeah. This doesn't. So what we've done is we've cut together. You're going to see it right here.
Hell
and
yeah.
What we've done is we've cut together a sizzle because this is a show, a series that we can go sell. And myself, Felicia Michaels, Susanna Lee, we are getting out there and we are showing this to everybody in the industry who might be able to put it on Showtime, HBO, any of the networks.
And I helped.
Yeah. I don't care where it goes as long as I get a check. Long as I can stop stripping, because I can feel myself getting closer and closer to choking a customer.
I hear you.
That'll be your next series.
Well, I got to be honest with you. That's just going to raise your value.
I love that you are who you are, and you relate your experience without worrying about how people are going to take it, without stopping going,
I worry.
Are you guys okay with that?
Well, I am who I am, but I still worry, you know? I mean, we all, as comics, we want people to love us. But I'm not going to put on kid gloves to tell them my fucking story, that I have a pussy. You know what I mean?
It's hard to be a girl these days. I'll tell you all the reasons. Girl, gotta look good in every season. Just ask yourself this, girl, who are you pleasing? Staring in the mirror, squeezing and tweezing. If well, he's Superman, not a supermodel. There ain't nothing you could buy in a fancy bottle that'll ever let you love your own reflection. Girl, close that magazine with your introspection. Cause you can feel good with the spring and fall. And when summertime
Paul Provenza.
How did you get this number? Hello, lady.
You look so great.
So, what do you think of the place?
I love what you've done.
Thank you.
You think they chose this pattern for any particular reason?
Someone came in here and started taking swings at a cum pinata.
Jizz splatter all over the place.
I'm self-conscious and weirded out, but other than that, I'm okay.
I'll be your girl for all seasons. I'll be your girl.
What does deviance mean to you?
If I were wearing your outfit, now that's deviant and uncomfortable for everyone involved.
Fulfilling all of your needs, and I'll be your girl for all pleasing.
I think what you're doing is pretty deviant.
God, there's not much I consider deviant.
Tell me a story about your deviance.
People shoving eels on their butts while fucking elderly old men shit on their chest and they get punched in the face with fucking knives.
Unless it involves a victim.
Well, because that's what bad boys do.
By the way, I'm pretending this isn't happening, right? you undressing?
This guy that I used to date thought he was a vampire. And he would wear the fake teeth. We were making out in my car and he told me that I needed to leave because he didn't know if he could control himself from like attacking me. And I was like, oh, you idiot. I know you're not an actual vampire, and got out of the car. And it took me until last week to realize he was like doing a role play thing.
I'll be your girl for all reasons.
I didn't know. I was telling the story and the girl across from me was like, you know, he was probably like just trying to get like something really sexy going on with you. And I was like, oh shit. I just got out of the car.
You know what? My mind didn't even go there.
Right? Everything could have been different. I don't know what my life would have been like if I had stayed and done that role play with that teenager.
You probably wouldn't have had to worry about what you look like in the mirror.
Oh.
If I wanted to get naked, would that be illegal?
It says right here I'm not allowed to masturbate. Say. Oh, these are really tough questions.
One time there was this guy who said that I could put my pecker in where he eats cake.
Yes, what?
And it would be no different than a girl.
Not watching.
He kind of has a point. I guess this once would be okay.
And was it?
I had to whack it a little bit to get to the point where I could actually ejaculate into a man's mouth.
Think that that was just because he was bad at it?
I think a beard stubble threw me off of my fantasy.
I was
staying in my dad's apartment. The door flew open, and then the door shut really quickly, and I realized he had just walked in on me sleeping with a blow-up doll in my arms.
Because I'm a little person, people assume that, well, she's little. She couldn't possibly be deviant.
Oh, my God. They couldn't be more wrong.
I know. It's like I'm a double agent. And so I get away with murder because people don't suspect me of anything. But now my cover's blown.
After he caught me, I had to bury her in a dumpster behind a Walgreens.
To me, it's so normal.
Absolutely.
My gender and how I feel about my body is not up for public discussion in a way that's debatable. So when people, try to do that sort of thing, I'm like a 14-year-old boy right now. That's the thing is, you know, I transitioned like 5 years ago, and this is a fairly new thing for me. So I'm not that mature about it. Conversation with your pussy.
So that is a taste, by the way, of the sizzle right there. And that right there shows you just how perfectly imbalanced you put these guests.
Fantastic.
You know what I mean? Mm. It's really a good show.
If yeah, there's one great. Thing I like to do, it is make people very uncomfortable.
Well, you know, the equation is so perfect in that it's a completely untapped interview style and forum. Yeah. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And some of the best interviewers on the planet have figured out how to, and the guy that comes to mind is the king of all media, Howard Stern.
Yeah.
You know, he figures out how to put people in a space they're just not used to being in. And that environment is it's really well designed for a reason. So he gets people in there and they're absurdly honest where they otherwise
Howard Stern would be a good place to send this.
Well, Howard Stern is not someone who could actually get this.
But he would talk about it, I bet.
Absolutely would talk about it, yeah. Yeah, we should maybe talk about
it. Send it to him right now. Stop
yeah,
the
right
show.
Right.
Oh,
right.
Howard, are you listening?
So anyway, that's a taste of it. We'll be talking more about skepticism and whatnot when we come back from this break. You're listening to Skeptically Yours on the SkepticallyYours.net and available at the iTunes Store. More after this unavoidable irritation.
Good news, everyone.
That's right. We have a premium ad-free service. We do the show for 90 minutes, and you'll be able to listen to the live show and or download the first hour free from iTunes. The premium service will allow you to subscribe to the full 90-minute ad-free show. It's only $10 per year. If you want to support us, please go to SkepticallyYours.net/premium and subscribe. The sixth sick sheik's sixth sheep's sick is said to be the toughest tongue twister in the English
Hi, I'm David Diskin, and I wanted to tell you about Camp Quest West. We're a secular summer camp for non-religious families, and our week-long program for kids runs this summer in locations in California and over a dozen others throughout the U.S. At Camp Quest, we give kids the traditional camp experience, like archery, swimming, arts and crafts, and campfire songs, but we add science, skepticism, humanism, and critical thinking. There's a few spots left for parents who want to register their kids, but we're also asking for your help. We turn every donation into camperships for families that can't afford to send their children to camp. We're 100% volunteer-based, a tax-exempt 501c3, and our amazing financial aid program is supported by the free thought and skeptic community by people like you. I want to see how much Emery and Heather's fans can raise for Camp Quest West. Visit tinyurl.com/ardentcampquest. Or look for the link on their Facebook page. You can learn more about our California camps and the others throughout the U.S. by visiting campquest.org.
Did you see that UFO sighting that made the news? What did that latest study about alternative treatments really say? Is this photo making the rounds real or a hoax? Doubtful News is a unique website featuring news about pseudoscience, the paranormal, anomalies, and questionable claims framed with a skeptical view. Come visit DoubtfulNews.com every day for news about cryptozoology, conspiracies, shams, scams, and more. Follow us on Twitter at Doubtful News. Critical thinking is essential in assessing today's news. Doubtful News helps you decide, can you really believe this stuff?
And now back to Skeptically Yours, where thinking is free. We're talking with Susanna Lee and Dave Ross. Thanks for being here, you guys. Now your mics are on.
Oh,
hello.
There we go, yes.
Good God.
Thank you for having us on your show.
By the way, we skipped a couple shows. Listeners, I'm telling you now, we skipped a couple of our shows through the holidays. I was busting my ass to get a Showtime special for, what's the...
House of Lies.
House of Lies, thank you. For House of Lies Live. And what it is, do you know Ben Schwartz?
I don't know him. I know who he is.
Really good. He's, in my opinion, probably LA's premier long form improv artist.
He's amazing. He was great on Parks and Rec.
He was. He's so very, funny. Very good actor, too.
Yeah.
But he talked Showtime into producing a special where all of the, well, some of the actors, including Cheadle and...
And Kristen Bell. I think I just read about this.
Yeah. To come do improv. And
at
those
UCB,
two,
right?
At UCB. And those two, Kristen and Cheadle, are not improv artists. They're good performers. Yeah, right.
Some
right?
people on the show...
Can you imagine just never doing improv and then stepping on a stage and making a special? I mean, it was nuts good.
Yeah, it sounds horrifying.
You would think, right?
They did such a good job.
Did they really?
Really good.
Knocked
just amazing.
It out of the
did they do
park.
An improvised episode of House of Lies?
No, they just did long-form improv where they took a
suggestion from the audience,
kicked it off, and did a whole show, a whole half hour of improv.
Wow.
I could have watched a whole hour more.
Did they do a Herald?
No.
Okay.
No,
that... That would have blown me away they understood that, because I don't know what that is.
What is that?
It's a something, you know? It's like improv, and it all comes together. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, no,
I have no idea what it is.
It's a full circle with a bow tie. In other words, it's improv with a structure, if you will. Mm. And the goal is to get to a point. That's the idea you're talking
about. Yeah, there are like three movements, and then they all somehow come together at the end. This is what I mean when I say it. I've watched it, and people have explained it to me, and I still don't really get it.
Yeah, but they build the scene with suggestions. All they're doing in this long form version is they're getting a launching point.
Okay.
And then they just go.
Cool.
So it takes turns all over the place.
And it's airing on Showtime, isn't it?
It's airing as we speak. You can also see it at Showtime, Showtime's website. You can go to YouTube. Do a search for it at YouTube, and you can find it there.
SHO.com.
SHO.com, that's right. And and if you go to House of Lies, they're promoting it right there on the front page of House of Lies. You can go click on it and watch it on your
cool.
computer.
So cool.
Yeah, so people were here for about a week. The house was filled with about 6 to 10 people. I don't know how many people.
It was about 4.
It was about 20 people. And then...
and Heather was relegated to her bedroom. She didn't have to, but she did. She did.
Where
just
was I going
to
sit? On the floor underneath the table?
Okay, we'll air this later. Shall we air this later?
No, we'll air it now.
Wait, why were there so many people here?
Because they were working here.
I had Ben here, and I had the producers over the show. We were working on an incredible deadline, an impossible deadline.
Oh, okay.
I had my assistant working in tandem, so
he spent the night.
Yeah, the assistant
occasions.
Was staying overnight a couple times. But so usually you don't have that kind of deadline, and you can kind of be creative and go through the process of editing a little more relaxed, which is normally how I edit. But they said we need this out they needed my part done in like 7-8 days. Normally it would take about 2 to 3 weeks minimum with an assistant.
Wow.
Yeah, so we did what you'd do in 2 to 3 weeks in about 8 days.
Wow.
And edited. They did an hour show, and we pulled it down to 25 because that was the running time of the show. And it was fantastic. Absolutely amazing.
And you were out of it.
I was cooked. Yeah. I was fucked up. So luckily I didn't get the flu. So I want to talk today. Definitely I want to talk about this Amish thing. I'm going to fill you in, Dave.
Okay.
I know you don't know about it.
We're talking about the religion, right?
Well, yeah.
It's not crazy.
Not so much about the religion, but there are people claiming, and have been, by the way, for years, ever since the autism is caused by vaccinations claim.
Okay.
These folks that make this claim are called anti-vaxxers.
Okay.
Because we have to package everything in an easily digestible sentence.
Sure, it's got to be a Netflix documentary sometime.
Exactly. It already is, I assure
is
you.
Is it? I'm sure.
But Jenny McCarthy is kind of almost ground zero, at least in the U.S.
Yeah.
She is Amish.
Yeah. I wish she were.
She needs to go be.
Yeah, go. Jenny, please, go to an island where they don't have... vaccines.
But I guess we're not fans of MTV's Singled Out here. big single out fan.
Yeah, not at all. But Jenny McCarthy grabbed this claim, Dr. Wakefield claimed that autism is being caused by vaccinations. And he published a study that hadn't been peer-reviewed yet. And as often will happen, the American press, or the world press really, grabbed this study that he had published and started spewing out these so-called facts that this study were claiming. He was later completely stripped of his doctoral abilities and duties by the UK government when they discovered that the study had been completely bullshit. Absolutely fucking bullshit.
He lied.
Wow.
Yeah, he was lying through his teeth. And we're talking British teeth here. Let me just point that out.
Sure. It's easy.
Yeah, just fucking spills right out. And the subjects were tiny, tiny drop of people that he was looking at. And there was nothing in his study that had any real value whatsoever, other than to convince the American public that there might be some sort of connection. Jenny McCarthy has a big, huge voice, face, and mouth, and decided to start spewing this bullshit. And the next thing you know, there are people not vaccinating their kids. Now we're seeing spikes in all kinds of diseases that were nearly eradicated as a result of this process.
Oh, my God.
That's what we do this show about. This is what we talk about on the show. Susanna. It looked like you were going to jump in.
I think we talked about this the last time I was on.
Were you on for a vaccine?
I was on with Jarrett and
you
Glenn
were.
Will.
Yes, yes.
Well, but I think that that subject just came up organically then. I think, though, that if people are taking advice from Jenny McCarthy, then how much of an impact are their children going to have in the world?
That is a really good point.
I mean, the fact that they made it through three trimesters already is just
unbelievable.
Yeah,
that's the...
Yeah, we should do a test to see what the correlation is between you listening to Jenny McCarthy and your kid having autism.
There you go. That's the kind of study he did, actually. You know,
it's right.
Backwards engineered is what it was. So recently, this has made its way into the current press. Now, this isn't new. It's been going on for years, this claim. Why the Amish don't get sick and things you can learn from them is an article that you can find on LAHealthyLiving.com. And it's a story that claims the following. The Amish don't get vaccinated is number one. The Amish eat organic, locally grown food. They throw the GMO bullshit into this discussion as well. The Amish eat plenty of healthy fats. The Amish people are physically active. The Amish live stress-free lives.
Bullshit.
Bull fucking shit. Much in the way that Wakefield did his study, did his mathematics, this movement continues right down the line, part and parcel, drawing conclusions that aren't logically or obviously connected when you look at them carefully, when you think about them critically and reasonably. So this particular story has a... And by the way, almost always, when you find some claim like this, if you just do a Google search and look for the alternate claim, someone explaining or debunking or countering these claims, you can almost always find the facts. It's pretty amazing.
Well, you forgot to tell them that there's only been three cases of autism, supposedly, among the Amish.
Yeah.
Go
ahead.
In which the kids got vaccinated.
Yeah, yeah. That was
so they're trying to say that the kids that were vaccinated got autism.
They got autism?
Yeah.
That's what they're saying.
The three kids.
Do they have modern medicine? Do the Amish
they must go to a doctor.
Don't they still get polio and shit?
The Amish?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if that's true or not. Let me read the claim.
Not. I just made that up.
You're getting the hang of this.
I'm just saying do they... Because I know that they're opposed to electricity and the modernization of everything. Does that include medicine?
Well, no, it's not. It doesn't include medicine.
Okay,
but
so then can they even diagnose what autism is? Or are they just, what they call maybe winter flu? would that, is that something we would call autism?
Right.
No, I think you're close, though.
Yeah.
I think something that we might label as autistic, they might label as Amish.
Okay.
So here's the deal. This is number one on the list here. The Amish don't get vaccinated. I'm going to read it so that the listeners know what we're talking about. Did you know that Amish people rarely have any learning disabilities or autism? There have been only 3 cases of autism among the Amish in which kids got vaccinated, and then they cite a link there, which is another bullshit site, not unlike this one making that claim. Instead of crediting their lack of autism to the absence of vaccines, what did I say?
Vaccines.
Yeah,
it sounds like a terrible boy band.
Much funnier than the joke I was brewing, I got to be honest. I'm abandoning my joke. Mainstream society credits it to a superior gene that the Amish possess. In spite of constant pressure from the government, the Amish still refuse to vaccinate. You can read more about the dangers of vaccines here, and there's a link. Now, I did go and read the links. Again, it's like a sister kind of site that doesn't have... You can't cite as your source a site that isn't
yourself.
Citing... real science.
Right.
Yeah. You know what I mean? And that's what this world likes to do a lot of. Now, when we get back from the break, I'm going to explain to you why all of that is absolute bullshit. You're listening to Skeptically Yours on SkepticallyYours.net and available at the iTunes Store. More after this insufferable disruption. Have you heard of our other award-winning podcast, Ardent Atheist? Well, you have now. Go check it out. Go to www.ardentatheist.com. Rats and horses can't vomit, which is why they can watch endless hours of Fox News. Liberals, however, vomit a lot.
Foundation Beyond Belief is a community of compassionate humanists and atheists supporting outstanding charities worldwide. Members sign up for automatic donations starting at $5 a month, then distribute those funds however they wish among the featured charities. To date, this unique humanist organization has raised over $750,000 to make this world a better, more humane place. We don't look to the skies for a better world. Foundation Beyond Belief is humanity at work. Learn more or join us at foundationbeyondbelief.org.
Hi, I'm David Diskin, and I wanted to tell you about Camp Quest West. We're a secular summer camp for non-religious families, and our week-long program for kids runs this summer in locations in California and over a dozen others throughout the U.S. At Camp Quest, we give kids the traditional camp experience, like archery, swimming, arts and crafts, and campfire songs, but we add science, skepticism, humanism, and critical thinking. There's a few spots left for parents who want to register their kids, but we're also asking for your help. We turn every donation into camperships for families that can't afford to send their children to camp. We're 100% volunteer-based, a tax-exempt 501c3, and our amazing financial aid program is supported by the free thought and skeptic community by people like you. I want to see how much Emery and Heather's fans can raise for Camp Quest West. Visit tinyurl.com/ardentcampquest or look for the link on their Facebook page. You can learn more about our California camps and the others throughout the U.S. by visiting campquest.org.
Did you see that UFO sighting that made the news? What did that latest study about alternative treatments really say? Is this photo making the rounds real or a hoax? Doubtful News is a unique website featuring news about pseudoscience, the paranormal, anomalies, and questionable claims framed with a skeptical view. Come visit DoubtfulNews.com every day for news about cryptozoology, conspiracies, shams, scams, and more. Follow us on Twitter at Doubtful News. Critical thinking is essential in assessing today's news. Doubtful News helps you decide, can you really believe this stuff?
And now back to Skeptically Yours, where thinking is free. We're talking with Susanna Lee and Dave Ross.
Was I supposed to say something there? You paused. I'm sorry.
Hello.
No,
I was Dave Ross.
Not necessarily.
I was pausing for the musical beat.
Oh, okay.
I was trying to do I was trying to be a radio guy.
I apologize.
No, it's all right.
What about me? Was I supposed to say something
after
my name?
Okay.
Nobody said my name.
Note to self, only one neurotic comic per show. So, you know, listen, during the break, Dave, you said something that I think is profound.
I'm stupid. No. I think is what I said.
What you said is something that I've wrestled with over and over in my life, and I think a lot of people wrestle with it, and that is you feel like you're not well enough informed to even talk about something sometimes.
Yeah, all the time.
All the time?
Yeah, it's really all the time. It's and it gets worse the older I get because I just feel I have a lot of smart friends. I know a lot of people that at least seem to be smart, and they seem to – it's especially weird because I read the news. Do you know what I mean? And I like literally couldn't tell you the name of one U.S. senator. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I have no clue Dianne what Feinstein. The fuck is going on.
You knew Feinstein.
I knew. Yeah, now I know. You know, Ted Cruz.
There you go.
Psychopath.
Right.
But like, that's because I Googled him yesterday.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah, I just feel dumb all the time. I feel uninformed. I like people are talking about things and they're arguing and they know facts and I'm just like, yeah, I'm gonna duck out of this.
Let me ask you a personal question.
Sure.
Do you have a good long-term memory or not? Or do you know the answer to that?
Yeah, I have a great
long-term. I wasn't doing a joke, but that was funny. What?
I have a good long-term memory.
I don't.
A bad short-term memory.
Bad short-term.
Yes.
I have a shitty long-term memory. And as a result, I can look things up prior to a show, and I can make really nice arguments in a setting like this. If you wanted to come back to those arguments in, say, 6 months, I'd have to relook everything up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean I don't maintain the information well.
I have that too. Yeah.
I have friends. Now, you and I both have friends in the comedy world who Mike Kaplan, for example, Penn Jillette, Teller, all of these kinds of folks.
They're freaking brainiacs.
They can spew out information because they filed it away and they're good at recall. And
right.
That is what makes guys like, well, I'll just speak for myself. That's what makes me feel like I'm inadequate a lot. Because,
yes.
Because I've visited these topics and I can't just at a whims on a whim pull up information and start debating a point very strongly. I have to go study it and then come back to it.
I guess I never thought of it as like a skill or just like a trait, those things, but you're totally right.
Yeah, that's all it is. That's all it is. And if you have a good long-term memory and you're really interested in something, then that's where you're going to flourish. That's where you're going to do well. You know what I mean?
A memory the size of a flea.
Yeah.
I used to have the best memory. That's another thing. Like, weird things go earlier than I thought.
Yeah.
I used to have a great memory. And somewhere around 25, just nothing. I can't remember shit.
Hey.
I remember I used to, like, there was a girl that I went out with. And I used to remember what everyone I knew, what they were wearing the first time we met.
Oh, really?
And I remember that really helping with dating, is what I was about to say. Like, I went out with a girl, and she was like, oh, my God, you remember. And I was like, no, I just remember, you know? And now I have no idea.
Well, a lot of people don't know that Dave Ross, actually, you're a nudist, so that makes it easy.
I'm naked right now.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know that.
That's the weird part about this video. It's all CG.
It's all CG. The clothes are CG.
I'm a brilliant animator, too.
So I relate to what you were saying. It really is just about what tools you have, and you're not a dumb guy. You're a smart motherfucker.
Okay, thanks.
When I watch you do comedy, and you're pulling from the real world when you do your humor, and you can see the process at work as a comic, you understand it, I think, on levels that audiences may not. You're not a dumb guy by any stretch, and that comes through the minute I watch you start doing comedy.
Well, this just became the best day. thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you.
I want to make sure we get back to the Amish thing, because on T-Brain, Right Brain, .co.uk.
That's a great website.
Right? Is it?
No, I don't.
It's my website, so thanks.
There is someone talking about this Amish claim, and this article that I found talks about how since 2003 this discussion has been going on, or this claim has been made. When you look at things from a scientific standpoint, the autism claim, vaccinations, or even any of the claims that were made by this article that we were talking about before the break, none of it holds up. The Amish, for example, do vaccinate. They have no prohibition against vaccination. So the minute you and this, by the way, I'm going to tie this together with what we just spoke about. I'm going to tie them together. Watch this.
With Dave's memory?
Yes.
Whoa.
When you...
Mine.
when you read an article that makes an extraordinary claim, for the record, what seems extraordinary is moving further and further out as we go on, by the way. That's a thing that happens. But when you find yourself going, oh my God, do I have a reason to fear something? Let's look at it that way. Forget extraordinary claim. When you find yourself reading something on the internet or in the newspaper or seeing on the news, something that scares you, go to Google and start looking for counter discussions with regard to that topic, whatever that topic is, yeah. Okay? This is why it doesn't matter anymore that guys like you and I don't have a strong memory for these kinds of facts, or me anyway. It doesn't matter. I can go look this up and I can get the information with my fucking thumbs while we're talking. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The new brain is the fucking iPhone or the Android or the Windows phone.
Maybe that's why we're so stupid.
No, it's the opposite.
Because of Google? Google's
so?
Trying to get us to...
Oh, no, I was just going to support your, go look for the counter argument. Go,
Absolutely.
Every time I have a pregnancy scare, I always go and look for what else it could be. Saving up the money.
Oh, fisting. I shouldn't have done that.
Saving
up the money.
Susanna has a series of tiny bank accounts.
You can't rely on the guy to go Dutch. You have to be able to cover that shit yourself.
As often as she saved the money, she should be covered for a couple of months. Mm-hmm. The Amish do not vaccinate. That right there in this article counters literally the first most important claim of the other
one. And I'm on AmishAmerica.com, and it says that Amish are generally... unlike some Christian denominations who may refuse certain medical care out of hand due to religious belief. However, religious reasons as well as their cultural values may factor in some medical decisions made by them. So they seem to, it varies. It depends on what their personal beliefs are.
Right. There's a talk that is linked to on this other story that says that was presented this summer by the DDC clinic in Ohio. This clinic is following the model of the cleverly hidden clinic for special children that a certain journalist failed to contact before publishing his conclusions. In other words, the other claim. In the description of the clinic, you will find a 501c3 nonprofit organization located in Middlefield of Ohio. And by the way, Middlefield is a town, not just a field.
In the middle of a field, right. In Ohio.
Well, it's Amish. I mean, that makes sense, sure. Actually. But it's in an Amish settlement, total population 95,000 Amish. 50% of developmental disabilities are from Amish. So,
really?
Yes. This is what drives me nuts,
oh,
man.
Oh, so that was just a bunch of bullshit
lies.
Facts?
Yeah. Fucking lies. Mm-hmm. Bullshit.
Oh, that's
and
crazy.
The people who are perpetrating these lies, they're ignoring these facts. They're completely ignoring them. It's not journalism that you're reading.
Of course not.
Right.
It's propaganda.
It's exactly what
but
it is.
But that's what so
but
much
But it's propaganda
of
for what?
Is.
To get you to stop using vaccines?
That's exactly right.
Yeah. But why would people want you to stop using vaccines?
Here's the truth of it. Because Jenny McCarthy and people of her ilk truly do believe that there's a danger. So when you believe that there's a danger, and when you package that danger in the idea that the government doesn't give a fuck, this is the equation.
Then you'll do anything.
Then you'll do anything. You'll say anything in order to scare people into agreeing with your perspective and changing your habits. Because the ends justify the means. The minute you make a bogeyman like the government into this malevolent force, when that's what you believe, then that's what makes terrorism. That's how terrorism
right.
happens. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
So that's the problem.
The government is conspiring against all of us.
Yeah, they're secretly shooting us with
these. To make our kids have autism.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Well, I got to be honest with you. I think an autistic kid is more likely to vote for Michelle Bachmann.
Right. Well, right.
Because
exactly,
cause
they have a simpler mind.
She pretty.
Yeah, exactly. No, she's not.
No, she's not.
Autism is not stupidity, though.
No, it's not. I'm kidding.
So, yeah. Yeah, I mean, they would vote for Michelle Bachmann because maybe of the like even spacing of the letters of her last name.
Well done. That's exactly right.
But, you know.
Yeah, because it's easy to count the hatred inside her.
So that's a joke, of course. I don't think that I don't think that anybody thinks that. I don't think anybody is trying to. Obviously, the government isn't trying to create autistic kids. But the fact of the matter is, every research that has been done to date to try to find out if Wakefield had a point, was right, or was on to something, has been consistently, systematically shown not to be the case. There is no connection between autism and vaccines.
And by the way, you can go to JennyMccarthyBodyCount.com to see the number of preventable diseases, illnesses due to the number of preventable deaths due to...
Right, deaths.
Yes.
It's actually a site to...
Vaccines or due to autism? And
because people didn't vaccinate.
Oh, okay.
Herd immunity, know what it is?
No.
Vaccines are based on a concept called herd immunity. When you vaccinate enough people, then you start to make it impossible for a particular disease to jump from person to person.
When the virus dies.
That's right. So the virus can no longer find a host to get to move through.
Sure.
And the more you...
Sounds awful.
Right. The more you close down the opportunity for a virus to jump from person to person, the more people in a herd that you get vaccinated, the more barriers you put for that for that disease to propagate.
No, that sounds bad. That sounds like that causes autism.
Okay, we'll be back after this because we're going to have to explain why that's not what that means. You're listening to Skeptically Yours on SkepticallyYours.net and available at the iTunes Store more after this intolerable intermission. And now, a special announcement.
This is a big super shout out to a few of our listeners. Kyle Delaney, Carl Barrett, at Teddy Bearisms, Booger Bender, Joe Swam, and Cameron Winters. These were some of the names of the people chatting in the Skeptic Tank during the last show. Thanks for being there, everybody.
And now back to Skeptically Yours, where thinking is free. We're talking with Susanna Lee and Dave Ross.
That was a short break.
It's always a short break.
Hello, I'm Susanna Lee.
No,
hi,
wait,
Dave
Susanna.
Ross.
Whoa, give each other back your genitalia.
Somebody progressive.
Sorry, Dave. Somebody, Dave, I can't remember his name. Somebody on my Facebook wall, or a friend of mine on Facebook, asked the question, if you could switch genitalia, and I think the way he put it was, if you could switch genders, is the way he put it.
Sure.
In an outpatient operation that's completely reversible with no recovery time, would you do it and why?
No.
It was a pretty cool... You wouldn't do it? You wouldn't get the penis for a couple days?
I would have a cock.
She
I would.
Would
never. The male genitalia is such a fucking unruly thing. It just fucking hangs off you, swinging around, jiggling.
Well, they know all about it.
All of our shit is inside. It's tucked away. I don't have to worry about it. I don't know shit about it. It's in there. Let it be. But you guys have to fucking...
I don't know shit about it is why you're always on Google trying to find out whether or not you're pregnant or have a fucking infection. Same thing, by the way.
About this is how clear it is that Suzanne has thought about this like a lot.
I have, and I feel so bad for you guys.
Oh, like, yeah, it's out there. It's a problem.
Yeah, I started thinking about it. I mean, honestly, I started thinking about that when someone was talking about boxers versus briefs, and I just thought, what a fucking mess. What a mess to have to worry about, like, if this is going to smush that or if that's going to fucking smush this, and I can either wear any type of underwear or just not, and it doesn't matter because nothing is going to fucking jiggle around and hurt itself.
We've got boobs, you know? Though.
Yeah, the boobs are that gets unruly, I
guess. Yeah, I don't want to lose my boobs either. So there's your argument debunked.
Yeah, I wouldn't switch either, but that's only because, I don't have a... Also, I take issue with saying
outpatient. Outpatient. You're going in, you're being turned into a girl, and you can go back like a day or two later, a week or two later.
How long do I get to keep it?
Well, again, that's up to you. It's up to you. You get to go back.
As long as you prove you can take care
of it. And it's free, by the way. There's no charge.
I will be sticking my penis in everything.
You wouldn't do it.
If I had the opportunity to be a girl for a few days, just to see what it's like, I would totally do it. But I wouldn't go through two surgeries to do it. I wouldn't do that, no. I also take issue with the idea that switching gender is based on switching genitalia. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's... Like, I don't... I don't...
Well, I don't think that's what's implied by the question, by the way. This guy's a smart dude.
Sure.
And I think he's presuming that we all know that you're going to have some sort of hormonal treatment, but he's suggesting for the sake of discussion. And all it is a thought experiment, you know. So he's trying to make it as convenient and as simple as possible. So the idea...
If a wizard could turn me into a girl...
Okay, let's go that way.
A wizard.
And then turn me back.
Yes.
And it was like no like bullshit.
Ding, just there was
and
no,
you're hot.
Yeah.
And I'm... Well,
I mean,
thank
as
you.
A girl,
thank
of
you
course.
Very much. I know. I totally do it. I would love to know what other people's lives are like. I would love it if they could turn me into a black woman or, you know, like a child with autism so I could know what that's like. I would, you know, just take a week and do all the demographics.
Right.
And see if I still believed what I believe, you know?
That's a great
response.
I would like to be
changed into a sane person. And know what that feels
That'd
like.
That'd be great. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Man,
wouldn't
if
that
a wizard.
Awesome?
That's so funny. If a wizard could make me successful, fuck yeah. That'd be fucking great, man.
So you would be turned into a Jew.
Yeah.
Okay, I get it.
A Jew.
You're in
still
LA.
Still a man, though, clearly.
Right.
So, it's hard for female comics. That's all I'm saying. It's hard for female comics.
So let's not just rush past this sane thing. I recently saw on. What did I say?
That's just great.
I've completely tickled the shit out of Sam. She's
I think
lost.
The show ended.
It's just a really good sentence.
Yeah,
let's not rush past the same thing.
Well, I want to make sure I talk about this because you bring up a good point.
You're crazy.
She has to run away from the living room when there are four people editing in it.
That seems pretty sane. Yeah,
it's pretty sane. There is a technique that they have found where they can put, and this stunned my shit, man, where they put electrical impulses via some wires that are placed inside the head.
Hook me up.
And I know, right? And run to a pacemaker of sorts, apparently, that's also mounted inside the body, just like a heart pacemaker. In fact, I think they use a heart pacemaker. I have one around here somewhere. And I do. I have a heart pacemaker.
Do you? Is it in your heart?
No, it's laying around somewhere.
You should put that back.
My nephew had to have his updated to the newest technology, and he gave me his old heart pacemaker. Yeah, it's pretty great.
Is that something that they have to put inside, or is that something like anyone can just try out? Like
no, it's
like your wheelchair. You know,
it's
like,
something they have to go.
A wheelchair.
No, they would
just like
in order to.
Well, if you know a wizard.
In order to do the operation I saw the story on, they're actually doing brain surgery where they put it inside the head and the wires are laid inside the body and the heart the pacemaker is in under the skin, it's subdermal. Yeah. So they're cutting them open and to do this. They did it to a woman who said that her psychosis was getting so bad over time that she couldn't leave the house anymore. It was really becoming dark and crazy and awful. And they showed her afterwards, and they're trying to fine-tune the electrical impulse that they were putting at a specific point in the brain, which is supposed to produce happy feelings. And it was nuts. I mean, it was... If you've ever seen the Ren and Stimpy episode, Inventor, where Stimpy creates this head thing that he slams on onto Ren, and then he's got a remote control. It had flavors of that where they were dialing it in, and she's sitting there, and you just see her smile. You see her frowning, and then all of a sudden she's smiling. Yeah, everything's a little
there
brighter.
There was a documentary about a guy who had Tourette's who had the same kind of brain surgery. He was awake, and they were able to tap into his brain, and he would just start crying, and he would, you know, be happy, and they would like, he had to be awake so they can know.
They're dialing it in. They're figuring out how much impulse.
But they
stopped
his Tourette's with it.
Yeah.
Is it like a portable ECT thing? Like ongoing ECT? Like ongoing...
Susanna, you have to get a penis for this to work.
Oh.
Just so you know.
All right. Well, then I don't care.
The only way to be happy is to have a penis. I don't know. No.
Do not care. I don't fucking read the news because I don't care. I don't pay taxes. I don't care.
So
is it true you have to be a man to...
To be happy?
To be.
Yes.
That sucks. Based on my experience, probably.
screwed again.
In your experience,
we need to be careful with this.
I just had to be a woman to be happy.
We need to be careful with this humor. We're surrounded by four women right now, Dave.
I'm a self-loathing one, though, so it's really 3-3.
I'm totally comfortable. I identify as a woman. So.
You do?
No, but earlier I did.
You did earlier. You did.
Like earlier in my life.
I'm intrigued by that question. I also was intrigued by one of the response, a very long response on this discussion, asking whether you'd have the gender switch, because a transsexual showed up and said and started kind of talking about how you're talking about a binary thing, you know, and it's and sexuality is not binary, which I thought was
even
poignant.
If I stayed that a female and was able to, like, stayed a female inside, and but was able to switch to being a man physically, I would still fuck everything with my penis.
You would?
I would stick my penis in everything because I have a penis. What the fuck else do you do with it?
Oh yeah, totally, yeah. Totally. That's like,
so I'm, you understand us.
Any man that gets, you know, boobs at 30 years old is just all day. Like, I would just be like, yeah, totally. Like, all day I would play with my boobs.
I'm pretty sure you'd get tired of it.
And I would put it in stuff, totally.
Would you? Toaster. Where did you put your penis when you were first playing with it? Where's the weirdest place?
Oh, I don't have any weird places.
Never?
I started jerking off really late. And when I was like 15, I think I started masturbating.
What?
Where did you put your vagina in when you first started?
I thought that you were talking about like when you first start masturbating, maybe you tuck it into weird places.
I did.
That is what
that's what I'm talking about.
That is what he meant. Yeah. Many guys.
I would take an empty.
Well, if you're Kurt Brownell's Johnson story.
I would take an empty Johnson's No More Tears bottle and suck my cock into it soft, and then it would get hard in there, and then I'd have to wait for it to
Susanna,
not be hard anymore.
I
probably should have said,
sorry for you that this world was just open for you right now.
I thought you meant like, where do you put it? Like, where did you put it when you're masked? Like, if you were done, you would just like tuck it behind your balls. What would you put it in?
Back to the Amish.
I got you.
I will say this. I know
so
that
many
it's
dudes who've like fucked a pillow or fucked a fruit
cantaloupe.
Yeah.
That's Nick Rutherford, right? Nick Rutherford has a story he doesn't stand up about fucking a cantaloupe. And Kurt Brownell, I'm not even going to say it. Go see Kurt Brownell because he tells the most amazing story about how he learned to jerk off.
Really?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Well, my worst mistake, no, my second to worst mistake, was.
Was it this show?
Remember the toilet brushes that had the loop in them that were designed with a loop?
Yeah.
And they had the bristles all pointing in and
outward.
Did you
lube up one of those?
I wrapped my fingers around the loop so that the bristles pointing inward were now out of the way, and then lowered that down around my hard penis. I was like 12 or 15. And those spikes just go in and lock down like a Chinese cock trap.
What's a Chinese cock trap?
Well,
you can't say like something that doesn't exist.
That is a Chinese cock trap.
Yeah, that happened. So it was awful.
What is wrong with you? I know so many guys who have this. Yeah, man, I was 13. What I did was I took four pillows and then I
taped them together with
I tied them together and then I like took scissors and I like cut them off so like the hole was close to me and then I lubed it up with ragu. And then it's like, why did you do that? Why did you do that?
Carmex is better.
Carmex is better?
Yeah. It heats things up
like
a little. Just enough.
Like chapstick?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Carmex, it's got some qualities that are nice.
Why you gotta grow up in a temperate environment, you know?
I'm dying to have you on Ardent Atheist and we can find out how you grew up. But 15 was when you first started masturbating?
Yeah, man. Yeah, well, I guess I would I did the thing. I was a boy, so I would like pull on my dick all day. You know what I mean? Because I like it felt good, but I didn't know that it did like more stuff, you know? Yeah. And then I was like, I was watching Bikini Car Wash 2.
USA. All night.
Yeah, totally. They would show USA and TBS after midnight would show boobs in movies.
The Republicans say this is what's happening, so you're confirming them to be right.
I'm very Republican. It's not true. I was just, you know, laying on the couch in the living room. My parents were upstairs and asleep, and I was just, like, pulling on my dick.
Yeah.
And then more stuff started to happen, and right. I started to, you know.
Wait, like, before you tell us what happened, we're going to take a break.
We're going to end the show.
That's it for the free version of episode 58. If you'd like to find out what happened to Dave's cock, you're going to have to get the premium version. This is another show that went off without a hitch. We miss you, Hitch. We'll be making the full 90 minutes available to our premium subscribers very soon. If you'd like to hear the full 90-minute show, please go to skepticallyyours.net/premium and subscribe. I want to thank our guests, Susanna Lee and Dave Ross. I also want to thank my co-host, Heather Henderson, and our technical team, Sam Kramer and Blythe Renee. Tune in next time when our guests will be...
disagreeable assholes.
And we'll be talking about...
disagreeable assholes.
Ah, that's a funny gag.
Our theme music, courtesy of the sound editor of the Aristocrats, Eric Wilson, and special thanks to our Skeptic Tank moderator, Joseph Jebediah Swam, and our digital publicist and web guru, Cameron Rumspringa Winters.
You've been listening to Skeptically Yours on skepticallyyours.net. I'm your host, Emery Emery.
And I'm Heather Henderson.
And we are Skeptically Yours. Where can they find you, Dave?
DaveToTheRoss.com.
Dave to the Ross. Very, very, very hip. Where do they find you?
Why would they fucking want to?
Oh, stop it.
No, GetLuckyDeluxe.com.
That's why. That's exactly why.
I know.
Do you want to get lucky? Then go to GetLuckyDeluxe.com.
Thanks
for being here, you guys. Skeptically Yours is a product of an ever-expanding universe.